The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
You better vote. That's the simple name of the show today. You better vote. And you better, if you're, you listen to all these people, if you listen to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton, who are now in Rush Limbaugh's slot, you know, they're basically popping the corks already. And I appreciate their enthusiasm and I appreciate their confidence, but I don't think that's healthy. And I'm not saying that we aren't going to do well as conservatives. I believe that we will. But the only way we're going to do well as conservatives is if you actually vote. So assume nothing. Assume nothing. The big red wave, the little red wave, school boards, county commission, state senate, state house, U.S. House, U.S. Senate, whatever the case may be, judicial races. Don't assume anything and don't buy the lie that your vote doesn't count. Your vote counts immeasurably these days in America because our elections are getting tighter and tighter, and it doesn't take more than a handful of people with that kind of a bad, and I would add sinful attitude, to mess the whole thing up. So you better vote. You better get out. Early voting here in North Carolina starts tomorrow, October 20th. And then, of course, the election coming up the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. That's always the rule. So every 2 years, you can go out into perpetuity and figure out when the election day is. It's November 8th this time. You better vote. And by the way, for those of you that have been emailing me and sending me messages on Facebook wondering when my personal picks are going to be available, the answer to that is today. It's the longest list I've ever made. It goes outside of Wake County where I live. I've organized these by what I believe are mission critical. We're going to be talking about that today. Things that we absolutely have to win in order to advance an agenda that I think the Lord would bless. And here in North Carolina, for me, the number one issue is life. And unless we take 3 seats in the House, 2 additional seats in the Senate, and unless we take control of the North Carolina State Supreme Court, you guys can be all pro-life and all crazy babies all you want, like I am. But you've got this guy named Governor Cooper who can laugh in your face and veto things. So you need a veto-proof majority in the North Carolina legislature. That means we have to add 3 seats of Republicans in the House. We have to add 2 seats in the Senate, which we're going to be talking about with E.C. Sykes today. And we have to take control of the North Carolina State Supreme Court with our friend Paul Newby, who's the Chief Justice. Otherwise, the court can screw it all up as well. So this is absolute spiritual warfare. And you better suit up, and you better be on the field, and you better play. Hi, E.C. Sykes. Welcome to the studio.
Hey,
come on and get a little closer to your mic. You're not sitting across the kitchen. You're in the game.
Good to see you again.
How you doing? E.C. is running, of course, has been running for this season. Very, very busy. North Carolina Senate District 18, which for all the folks out there, E.C., how do you describe that area geographically? It's kind of here in the area, a little bit northeast.
Yeah, it is. It's Wake Forest, Roseville area. It goes a little further east than that, or past 401, but think about Wake Forest, Roseville, and then all of Granville County. So from Durant Road to the Virginia line.
Wow, that's huge.
That's a nice piece. And it's got a nice distribution, right? We got some of the city of Wake Forest, so it's in Raleigh, so it's suburban, and then it's got a lot of the rural area that's as well. So it's a great mix of people that are there.
Excellent. So I want to talk mainly today, EC, about what you're encountering out there, talking to people, knocking doors, engaging people at events. Because there's what the media says, there's what Twitter says, which represents about 3% of the country. But I'm most curious to see what actual normal people out there living their lives day to day are saying. What are the big issues for them? And like I mentioned, my picks will be available. I'm going to put those on Facebook. If you want to email me, I can email them to you that way. It's steve@thestevenobleshow.com. That's just my email address, steve@thestevenobleshow.com. But I'll put them on Facebook. I'm also going to put them on the website, which is thestevenobleshow.com. These have nothing to do with the radio ministry itself. These have nothing to do with Truth Radio or any of the other radio stations I'm on. Certainly doesn't have anything to do with you, Facebook. These are my personal picks. And this is my, EC, this is my ode to Chicago.
Okay.
Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because I lived in Chicago for 10 years.
I remember.
So in Chicago, you vote as often as you can, right? That's generally the rule up there. So down here, over all these years, every 2 years, I put out my list. And literally hundreds of people take my list to the polls with them. And so that's me. That's my OG.
Well, people
Chicago.
Remember that. I mean, look, we're influencers. A lot of people, I was at church Sunday night, right? And people says, well, I don't understand who to vote. In this case, it was the school board because there's so many choices. How do I find out how to make those choices? In fact, in my head, a lot of people call people they trust.
Yeah.
To make that. So you're a person that they trust. People call you to sort out some of these difficult races, particularly when they're not party affiliated.
Yeah, that's right. And so, by the way, since you brought up the school board, I've got all nine of them on here. Cheryl Caulfield, Monica Ruiz. Wing Ng, Becky Lou Hobbs, Jackie Bogle, Chad Stahl, Jacob Arthur, Steve Bergstrom, and Michelle Morrow are all on there. Okay, so I'm going to tell you exactly who to vote for. You can either follow my advice and do well, or you can ignore me and be a part of the problem. Anyway, let's talk about just being out there and meeting folks on the street, EC. What are you running into? What are most important to North Carolinians that you're meeting?
Well, and we have moved into the time of the season where people start paying attention to elections. And so while we've been out knocking doors and doing things since the hottest part of the summer, now people are really trying to kind of sort it out and figure out who are the candidates, who I need to be voting for. Hey, look, there's a lot of information on television.
Sure.
When you go out and you really talk to individuals, by far, people are concerned about the economy.
Yeah.
Inflation. Being able to make ends meet. And it's not being – even people aren't speaking of losing jobs yet. That's already occurring. People are already getting second jobs. That's already occurring. People are just concerned about how are we going to make it work.
That's
and
right.
We got two spectrums. I'm talking to people on fixed income who says, man, I don't have a way to make it work with the rate of inflation for us to continue.
Because the average American family right now is spending about $6,000 more this year than they did last year just to pay for regular stuff.
Right. And it's just common knowledge, right? We lost a month. Of our year now to inflation, a month of our year now to inflation. The other side are the younger couples and people starting out, right, who very often may have gotten flexible mortgages.
No,
they don't have as much of buffer in their living because they haven't lived life as long. And so this is a real gut hit for them as they're trying to go through this, trying to make life work at that point in time, and all of a sudden they've lost a month of the year.
Yeah.
Of salary, and so they're trying to figure out, I don't have a way to make it work.
And that's if you're above median income. If you're not, if you don't have a big income already, and it's costing you an extra $5,000 or $6,000, we're talking about 15% of your income, and you don't have that. I mean, what are you going to do? And so people are going to credit card debts skyrocketing right now. Home loans are skyrocketing. You look at if you bought a house today versus buying a house a year ago. I mean, our house would be unaffordable today that we bought 2 years ago because we had a. Under 3% interest rate. Now you're at 6.5, pushing 7.
Yeah,
and you look at the difference in the payments, you go, oh, I can't afford that. That's ridiculous. And those are the realities out there. People tend to vote with their pocketbooks. We're going to keep talking to EC Sykes about that and the other issues that he's running into. And should we be quiet about the issue of life? Or should we talk about that boldly? That's a big one as well. EC Sykes, NC Senate, District 18. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you here with my friend and brother in Christ, E.C. Sykes, today as we're talking about the campaign, the upcoming campaign. By the way, you need to go to E.C.'s website. That's EC4NC.com, EC4NC.com to support him financially. There's still time to get out and walk the streets if you're in the northeastern part of the Raleigh area. It goes all the way up to the Virginia line. That District 18 is pretty big. Wake Forest. And you said basically what? From Durant Road, which is in North Raleigh, all the way up to the Virginia line?
That's it.
That's crazy.
That's a long ways.
And so people are predominantly voting with their pocketbooks, right? That's what you said. It's financial issues because inflation's killing a lot of people.
I mean, that's the issue that we hear from a lot of voters when we go door to door and we talk to people, right? And so that's a privilege that we have is getting to talk to them. You know, we hear other issues, but they drop off fast after that period of time.
Are they talking about masks and COVID? Nobody's talking about that. Nobody's talking about
We forget
warming.
Quickly, don't we, on those things. And so, but I mean, one of the things that's one of our campaign themes is just our government's too large.
Yeah.
We need to shrink it back. It's in our schools. It's in our houses. It's in our churches. And
it's everywhere.
Government's gotten out of control. And part of that is the problem that we have with the mask and before. We're seeing now that the damage that it's done to some of our children. And so I think people are still concerned about that.
Absolutely.
And so we're hearing about that issue. I think, but for a lot of that, people lean more into the school board Sure. They'll probably have a better impact in that area, which I'm a big fan of. I'm a big fan of pushing those type of decisions down to the local level.
Absolutely.
Rather than thinking that, you know, somebody in Raleigh's smarter, better at it than
The Wake County kids, their parents are in Wake County. Their parents aren't down in Guilford County or some other part of the state. I mean, yeah, that should be local control, which is what we're fighting for, which is why the school board races are so important. In terms of the Republican Party in North Carolina, EC, and has a majority right now. It does not have a super majority. This is mostly an issue on life. But there's all kinds of things. Governor Cooper has been a fanatic when it comes to the veto.
True.
He's just vetoing everything all over the place. If it's, I don't care if it's the greatest idea since sliced bread. If it comes from the Republican Party, he's going to veto it. So are you guys talking about that? We absolutely need to have a veto-proof majority in the Senate and the House?
I mean, both sides are talking about that, right? And so that's something that everybody agrees. That's a bipartisan issue. Everybody agrees that that's what's at stake here at this election. And look, that's only at stake because of prior votes of the people of North Carolina.
Yeah.
They've gotten us that close to the line that now it does take a little bit more to get us over. Look, Steve, I think my race is incredibly important. My race may determine whether the Senate has a veto-proof majority or not. As important as it is, I think there's one that's more important than that one. You talked about 3-2-1.
Yeah.
Look, right now we have a minority of constitutionalists in our Supreme Court. And it does you no good to pass laws if your Supreme Court's going to rewrite the
laws.
That's
right, yeah.
And so getting control of that court, and I want to make sure it's clear, that is not like a liberal conservative issue that's there. That's more of a constitutionist, you know, alive revisionist view. And so you need to understand when you're voting for those people, you're really voting for people that are going to interpret the Constitution the way that it was written.
That's right.
Or that we think that this thing changes and we get a chance to reinterpret what it means from time to time. And so if we can get that one, the people in North Carolina have put us within that position already. We just need to carry it the rest of the way.
Well, yeah, that and people approach the Constitution the same way that they approach the Bible. You got a strict constructionist and you got a broad constructionist. A strict constructionist is going to look at the Constitution, look at it in context, and read it that way. So this is what it meant when they wrote it. We know this because of case law and the founding fathers' writings themselves. So we know what they meant, and that's the way we're going to interpret it. A broad constructionist says, hey, come on, man. That was 1789, unless you haven't checked, Steve, because you're such a knucklehead. it's 2022, man. We got to get with the modern world. And so that's a broad constructionist. Ketanji Brown, who's up on the Supreme Court now, is a broad constructionist. She's going to look at international law. She's going to look at a Ouija board. She's not going to look at your sex because she can't determine whether you're a man or a woman, EC, because she's not a biologist. And so that's the problem with the Supreme Court. I don't want activist judges on the Supreme Court. I want constitutional judges. Right. And then we'll be fine, which is why we need to elect Richard Dietz and Trey Allen to the North Carolina Supreme Court to get the majority under the unbelievable leadership of Paul Newby, who's one of the greatest, godliest Christian men I've ever known, who's the current Supreme Court justice. And that's the thing. If we don't get that, they can mess up everything that you do in that.
Yeah. I'll pass all the laws you want. Look, we can even go so far as to saying that the people of North Carolina can vote in a constitutional amendment.
Right.
And the Supreme Court overturns
it.
Which they did with voter ID. Right.
And yeah. So, that's five people in black robes looking at millions of voters saying, sorry, we're
smarter than you are.
That's right.
This is how this is going to
work. Yeah, a bunch of knuckle draggers. You're out. And we're the enlightened ones. That's the elite. That's the oligarchy.
Right.
Which I think is largely how America's run today. I mean, I know I sound like a catastrophist, but it's the reality. It's not that many people pulling all the shots. So the economy, what else are you running into out there? Do people talk to you about school issues and what's going on with our kids and sexualization of our children and gender ideology and that mess?
You get that to an extent, right, that's out there. I mean, people are super concerned about the school boards.
Yeah.
They're concerned about their children and what's being taught. I mean, they're just concerned about the quality of education in addition to the sexualization. And so, look, our children aren't being prepared to enter the world and have a productive life that's there. And particularly now that they've gone through the COVID time, they've seen, this is not working. We've got to have a different solution to this. There's lots of ideas that people have had about what needs to be different. A lot of them comes back to teaching technical skills inside of high schools, like maybe you did and I did, shop classes and others when we're there. And so there's a lot of interest to think about school different. Look, I'm a business guy. I ran companies. And I ran those using metrics, right? If I looked at the performance of our children in these schools and I looked at that, I say, this is broken. this has got to have some serious work.
Yeah, this system is broken.
We would never tolerate the results that we are tolerating out of our school system. And so, and it's not like we don't have some great models out there that are working well that we could go out there and emulate. We've got solutions out there. We just need to go take advantage of, just use some basic business principles.
Well, I've heard that time and time again because I've had a bunch of these school board candidates on the show, and they're all going to be making another round through before we get to the election itself. And it's all common sense stuff. This is not rocket science. And you've got a lot of decent teachers in there, but teachers, a lot of them are hamstrung. They can't do anything because it's top-down bureaucracy. There's a lot of people in the Wake County School Board, for example, in the Wake County school system. There's 80 or 90 of them making north of six figures. They're doing quite well. Works well for them. But that's not who it's for. It's for the kids. And so the children are suffering. We saw that with COVID. And it's a big train wreck. Is there things, EC, that the North Carolina State Legislature can do that would affect education in North Carolina? I mean, we both believe in pushing it down to the school board and the local control, but does the legislature get involved in any level of that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, there's some things out there that would be for debate that I think really need to get vetted out. So one of those things is the and one of the comments that I've heard is the size of the Wake County school system.
Yes.
Right? And so nationally, what was it, 13?
We're the 14th biggest school system in the country. We're a number 40 market.
Right.
So it's completely skewed.
And so people say, and one of, I remember one constituent was going through it, says, look, in the last 2 years, I've been in three different schools. They had moved. And it says, it's amazing, three different Wake County schools.
Yeah.
And it says, it's amazing the quality of the education that my kids get inside of Wake County. They ended up in Roseville, very happy.
Yeah.
But our school system doesn't work well the way it's created.
It looks a little bit too much like the federal government at this point and get too big to be effective. We need to deal with that. We're talking to E.C. Sykes today about his run for the North Carolina Senate, District 18, Wake Forest, all the way up to the Virginia line. Got a lot of other issues to talk about. We'll talk about the life issue. We'll talk about praying for candidates, helping candidates, and our place and all of that. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, here today with E.C. Sykes, a good friend and a brother in Christ, who's running for North Carolina Senate District 18. EC4NC.com is his website, EC4NC.com, and he's in District 18, which is Wake Forest and all the way up, North Raleigh, all the way up to the Virginia line. So that's District 18. And the House side, right in the same area as our mutual friend, brother in Christ, Fred Von Cannon. He's in District 35. These are two of the biggest races in the state.
They are.
Because these are part of trying to get a veto-proof majority so we can just kind of brush Cooper out of the way. So that's why everybody has to be really involved in understanding. You can get a sample ballot. You can see all the races that are on your ballot based on where you live. And then you got to have an answer for all those when you walk in there. And, yes, you can walk into a polling place. Like with my list, you can walk in there with my list and say, and they can't stop you. Okay, it's not like you have to memorize it. You just walk in there with it. They're not going to be happy if you're trying to use your phone. But if you just have a paper list, you know, like this, paper list, you just walk in there and you use that to make sure you're voting for the right people. And so this will, my list will be on Facebook later tonight. This will be on my personal page, on the radio show page, and by tomorrow sometime it'll be up on the website. Or you can just email me, steve@thestevenobleshow.com. steve@thestevenobleshow.com is my email, and I'll just email it to you. But this is the biggest list I've ever done because it's outside of the Wake County area as well. So I'm trying to catch a lot of folks that can listen to the show.
Let me put a plug in for Fred Von Cannon.
Please
he is
do.
A mutual friend of all of us. He is running in District 35, which is the Wake Forest area. They're an incredibly important district. He's in the House. We need three more of those. We need two more of the Senate. And so together, the nice thing about Fred and I working together is Fred's a Christian businessman.
That's right.
I'm a Christian businessman. And so when people have come to help us in this campaign process, so they go knock on the door. Man, one knock, you're representing two brothers that are running
That's
for the seat.
Deal.
And so 40% of his district is my district.
Wow.
And so he's a major impact as to what my election results are going to be. So we've been helping each other through this process to get the word out. You have Christians
awesome.
That have stood up. You know, there's always been this little tension, churches around, should churches get involved in campaigns or in real politics or not? And Steve, I've been telling people, look, I found out an amazing truth. When Christians don't run, non-Christians get elected. Right?
And wow, that's really
really
deep,
hard,
right? Really hard to figure that one out.
But that's what our churches
important.
Been telling us.
Right.
They've been telling you to stay separate, and this is what separate looks
yeah,
like.
This is
right?
what we get.
And so, hey, look, go out, support Fred. In addition, I mean, together we hope to be able to serve the people in Wake Forest well that's there with the biblical truths, yep. biblical values.
That's right.
And so.
And the business experience matters. We've got a whole lot of people in politics that have never made payroll.
Right.
They don't know the so when you guys look at these situations with governance, when I look at the situation with the governance, I've been an entrepreneur since I was about 18. I'm 56 now. The things are just screamingly obvious. It's just because if you know if you ran a business this way, you don't have a business. And so a lot of these things are just plain and simple, common sense, good business acumen. That all it is. It's not PhD level stuff.
Yeah, and so, there's some things you can't read a book and learn.
Right.
Right. You can't read a book on how to walk and know how to walk. You've got to go out and walk some. You got to fall down some. You got to figure it out. And that's the same way with the business stuff. You can't go take an MBA class and understand how to run a business. You got to go run a business,
right.
live life, and let it work for you before you can really develop that skill set. Fred has that skill set.
That's right.
God's developed that skill set in me. We look forward to bringing that skill set to Raleigh to help the people in North Carolina.
Yeah, we have a lot of politicians, like I said, that have never had the pressure of having to make a payroll to turn a company around, which is what a lot of your background is. They don't know anything about it. And so they're politicians. They're not practitioners of reality. And that's one of the biggest problems we have. One of the issues that became a hot issue, much more so than has been in a while, was when Roe versus Wade was overturned. We praise the Lord for that. That pushes it back to all 50 states. So now you got a state issue all over the country. It's different in different places. North Carolina allows abortion up to 20 weeks. Doesn't matter what the House or what the Senate does right now because Cooper's going to veto it. But this is kind of a hot button issue. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people are afraid to talk about it. As if we can have a conversation. And I know there's probably a lot of Republican pollsters and people that are like, oh, don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. Because there's a decent amount of people in this country that are upset that Roe versus Wade was overturned. A lot of them are ignorant because they think all of a sudden it's illegal. And it isn't.
Right.
It's a state by state issue. All 50 states. Sorry, Obama, not 57. 50 states. But there's typically EC is one-sided. We just talk about abortion, saving the life of the baby. As opposed to dealing with the reality, you and I were talking about this off the air earlier. About 80% of the moms that get an abortion say if their circumstances had been different, they wouldn't have gotten the abortion.
Right.
So now it's all about female empowerment and trying to help women, which the Democrats like to say that they're the party of that. But yet what they want to do is usher as many women into the abortion clinic as they can. They don't give a rip that 80% of them actually don't want to go through with it.
Right.
So we need to deal with the legality of abortion, especially how far along. But we also, shouldn't we, EC, be talking about how do we help these moms and, of course, dads who feel like they don't have an option because they don't have any support?
So, I mean, there's a confession I need to make in that area. And actually, I think it's still up on my website. If you go look at the bio, my development in that space. Look, mm-hmm. I raised in a Christian home. We know right from wrong. And we know that taking an abortion was wrong. And 15, 20 years ago, I was in the space of that's wrong, that's a sin. And in my head, I just piled up guilt on the person that did that.
Right?
You're wrong. Look how bad you are. And fact of the matter is, you're right. These are people that need help. And it's our charge as Christians to help those people. And along the path, again, we didn't read a book. We went out and lived it. We've had a chance to help people on that path. We were foster parents. We've been involved with ministries that go out and help women that are struggling, mm-hmm. men and women that are struggling in that area, so they can make a different choice. And so I think that we need to stop with the guilt piece, and we need to start with people helping people in this area so that we can enable people to get through a difficult situation.
Right, exactly. Okay, well, proof positive. And people that have listened to the show, if you listen regularly, you already know about this. Not everybody knows about this. I'm showing EC a picture right now in the studio. What's that picture of? Do you know who that is?
No, I don't. Who's?
That's our grandson.
Oh.
So that's Paxton. He'll be 18 months old. You can't really see it on Facebook Live. A little bit. He'll be 18 months old this month, okay? That's Paxton. His father is our son. And our son is not married. Now, I've talked about this on the air. I'm not going to give every little detail that's out there. But it was 2 years ago in October, 2 years ago this month, that our pro-life chickens came home to roost when our son and his girlfriend told us they were pregnant.
Yeah.
And so on the one hand, you've got the obvious sin issues. On the other hand, you have this baby who now has a name. It's Paxton. He's the joy of our lives, or all of us, our whole family. But what the difference here, and the reason I'm bringing this up, is our son and his girlfriend knew that they came from two families that they knew were going to support them, despite disappointment, despite the obvious sin issues.
Right.
They knew on the life issue that they could come home and tell us, we're going to have to work through all that disappointment, anger, whatever. But I'm like, I asked my son, did you ever anticipate that you'd have to say, okay, Dad, I'm going to call you out. You've been an active pro-life person, like on the front lines for 15, 16, 18 years. Are you pro-life when it comes into your house?
Yeah.
And so now when I go out to the abortion clinic like I was this Saturday with my students, like 33 of my students, when I see these moms and these dads show up, I know that's the huge missing component. They don't have what my son had and has, which is the support of
So has that added a new dimension to your view?
Totally. Well, I'm much more soft-hearted towards the women and the men. Unfortunately, most of the men just drop them off and go down the street to Chick-fil-A and go have lunch while their wives go or the girlfriends go through that horrendous procedure. But yeah, I know that the answer, we are the answer.
Yeah.
As us as Christians and then us as just concerned citizens say, you know what? This situation is difficult, but between you two and two other families, we can do this.
Right.
And we are doing it.
Yeah, I mean, good for them, right? Because they could have made a different decision.
That's right.
They tried to hide the sin, eventually it comes back out. But they went forward and had the respect for life. And so
praise the Lord for that.
For that.
And,
right.
And that's what we have to – yes, I want a heartbeat bill in North Carolina because I know if a heartbeat bill effectively gets rid of abortion because they're not doing abortions at 5 or 6 weeks. But we also need to step up to the plate and say, okay, now we got to figure out a way. The church, us as citizens, and yes, the government, because we're wasting money right and left. I think we can figure out a way to squeeze some money to start helping some of these people so there's an alternative. We'll help you through it.
Right.
And obviously, adoption is one of those things. But
I mean, there's lots of different solutions. There's agencies out there to go out there and do that now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so, I mean, what's missing is just the size of the infrastructure, right? We've got the answers. They've been proven. They've been tested. We've rung out.
So that's right.
So now we're just in the spot of scaling it. Matter of fact, that's what we did in our companies is how do we scale this support system that's there. And this is a great opportunity for people to get involved with their faith and practice it in a new and different way.
And there's some states like Texas that are taking state funds and helping crisis pregnancy centers who are helping moms to overcome the situations that they're in that they feel like they can't have a baby. Yeah.
So, I mean, in the big picture, we need to be compassionate towards these mothers. We need to give them some help in this difficult time. We need to help them be able to choose life and to get through what could be a real difficult time in their life.
Yeah. So. Well, we're coming up on a break, and then we'll be into the last segment, believe it or not. But when we come back, EC, I want to talk about our responsibility as Christians, first and foremost, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, your responsibility when it comes to the political realm, voting, being engaged, praying, if you're a Christian. If you're not sure if you're a Christian, or if you just flat out say, well, no, I'm not a believer, at least not yet, your responsibility as a U.S. citizen. I want to talk about that in the final segment because I want to make sure people leave here enthusiastic today about being a part of the process. And if you think you're not a part of the process, you shouldn't be a part of the process, or the process is too gross for you to get your hands dirty, well, then I hope you leave today at the end of the show at 5 o'clock incredibly uncomfortable and full of the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
We're going to have a great section.
I'm not going to let you off the hook. I'm pretty sure EC won't as well. This is Steve Noble with EC Sykes, EC4NC.com, North Carolina Senate District 18. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be back with you. It was a joy to be down at Shepherd's Church the last couple of days for Shepherd's 360. Had Al Mohler on the show on Monday. That was great. And then yesterday spent half the show with Erwin Lutzer, which was wonderful. Dr. Erwin Lutzer was the senior pastor at Moody Church in Chicago for 36 years. Brilliant guy. Very funny. I didn't know how funny he is. He was very snarky. We had a lot of fun. He gave me his new book, which I'm going to read, and him back on the show. We'll spend the whole hour together, hopefully before the end of the year. But he did a session on Monday. We're here with EC Sykes, who's running for North Carolina Senate District 18. EC4NC.com. EC, the letters EC, 4FORNC.com. And he was talking on Monday in this session, EC, about three kinds of pastors when it comes to politics. Some pastors are like, went so far, he wouldn't name names, but I will. Like Jeffress, First Baptist down in Dallas.
Yeah.
He comes out, I'm endorsing Donald Trump. He's in the White House. He's all in, right? Christians are Republicans, and we love Donald Trump, and he endorses Donald Trump. So there's that in. Then there's pastors that are, we shouldn't have anything to do with it. I'm not going to talk about political issues. I'm not going to talk about the life thing. I'm not going to talk about transgenderism. I'm just going to do my expositional preaching, and that's it. I'm going to stay away from politics. And then you have the third, which is what Erwin Lutzer was, and he believes in expositional preaching, but he would do thematic things as well. And then as the culture is doing things, he goes, you can't avoid politics. The scripture speaks into life, and politics is there waiting for you. So he would do when the timing was right, based on what's going on in the culture, he would speak directly into these issues. He didn't endorse candidates. He didn't endorse the party, but he's definitely going to apply biblical truth to all these issues in order to inform his flock, which was significant. And he knows that it's going to affect them when they go vote.
And that's what we need, right? And so, because you've got to, in the end of the day, we're trying to interpret what to do through our biblical lens.
Right.
And we need some coaching on that. So let's say that now I'm a Christian businessman. Let's say I get elected for office, and we say we got an issue that comes in front of us. I've got to now filter that issue through my biblical principles. Mm-hmm. But what if nobody helped that me? So now I become not only a political leader, but I become a theologian to sort this out in addition. And so the role of the pastors, I think, in a lot of ways is to help us understand the principles and how they apply to here. What's the biblical view of unemployment?
Right.
What's the biblical view of tax?
Yeah.
What's the biblical view of a rezoning law? What's the biblical? And these are tough
sure.
things. That
some
you
of them are not as obvious, but there's all kinds of principles in Scripture that will
that
help you
need
down
to understand
right.
is that how these apply in these circumstances, yeah. these areas that are grayer. Right?
It's so important. The name of the book, by the way, that he gave me yesterday that I'm going to read, and I'll have him back on. And listen to this title. This is perfect. No Reason to Hide: Standing for Christ in a Collapsing Culture.
Yeah,
and here's the thing from a gospel perspective. Then I want to ask you, EC, how do we get involved? What's our role as Christians in the United States of America in the political process? But one of the things that I was talking to Erwin Lutzer about is this whole notion of the gospel being a moral solution to a moral problem. And the reason I'm couching it in moral terms is as the country is going down, like most people don't know this. I just shared this with you earlier. I just found out about it earlier today. The North Carolina Museum of Art here in Raleigh was getting ready to host one of these now infamous drag queen story hours, which is really just sexual abuse of children because they're dressed in hellacious ways. They're grinding. They're getting, give me a dollar bill, the type of music they're using. It's just Sodom and Gomorrah, Herod on New Year's Eve. Okay, it's psycho with little kids there. So those parents, shame on any parent that would ever walk their kids in there. But this is the North Carolina State Museum of Art, which was going to host it. And they get tax dollars. So you sit there and go, okay, this kind of stuff is happening in our culture. The culture is rapidly running away from any notion of morality. Well, if there's no really egregious immorality anymore in a culture like ours, then what good is the gospel?
Right.
What do I need to be saved from?
Right.
Because in the United States of America in 2022, I can't think of a lot of things that I've done that are really immoral. And so I have no need to be saved. That's why the church and us as Christians speaking into these issues is so important. We have to be trumpets for capital T truth, because we're the ones through the power of the Holy Spirit that remind the culture that yes, there are morals.
Well, and you watch the right and wrong has been redefined, black and white has been redefined, mm-hmm. The words get redefined, and I think our place is stand up and say it's just not right. Right, let's stop it.
Yeah,
right, and let's get back to something that we can agree on. Look, it's really, I was door knocking, and during that process, you know, you talk to people that have an inclination to be supportive. Mm-hmm. You don't in the door knocking process, you don't talk to every door. But you know, I'm a little adventurous, and so somebody walking down the sidewalk and I'm the candidate, they're gonna get a handshake, right? And so I met a 90-year-old lady that was coming up after the hurricane that came through, the storm, and was picking up stuff, and so let me introduce myself. And so she was an atheist. It is really difficult to have a conversation about life with an atheist. We didn't have a common point of view to have the conversation.
Right.
If we keep changing the meaning of the definitions of words, we lose a common point of view to any conversation.
Like the Tower of Babel. Right. And then we have a confused language because we don't have a common, I would call it a civic religion, which is Christianity. We don't have that anymore. And we don't have a common civic language because we look at things and we redefine words. So we're like the Tower of Babel, which only leads to chaos. What can we do? You see, what must we do as Christians that live in the United States of America, predominantly here in North Carolina? What do you think our obligations are? How do we help in this process, this political process?
I mean, I think biblically, God created certain institutions, right? The institution of marriage is one institution of church that he created, institution of government he created. And so there's not a part of this world that God has said, I got to keep out of that area.
Right.
And government is one of those. God doesn't say, I got to keep out of government. It's our responsibility of Christians to influence that part of our society as well. And so we need to be actively engaged in it. Different people are called to be actively engaged in different mm-hmm. ways, and we all got some level of influence that we need to have there. When I look at our campaign, when I talk to people, I said, look, we've got three things we need to do in order to be successful in our campaign. It's like a three-legged stool. The first leg of that for us is prayer. And so for your listeners, look, Susan, I cherish your prayers as we go through this. Unlike some campaigns, we've formalized it a little bit. So if you go to our website, ecfornc.com, you click on volunteer, you'll see the first thing you can do there is volunteer to be on our prayer team.
Awesome.
And every Tuesday, we just have a dial-in. Some people have the video on, some don't. And we just have 30 minutes of prayer, some silent. But anyway, and some people, I think of a friend that wrote me earlier this week, says, sorry, I couldn't make it, but I want you to know that I'm still praying for you, and this is what that prayer looks like. And so the time doesn't fit for everybody. Prayer is incredibly important. Second thing for that is we got to get the message out. Just like a business, these marketing dollars, we got to put yard signs out, do flyers, get television times and all this stuff. And that yard sign wasn't for free, and so it didn't come off a tree. So somebody paid for
that. How expensive are races like this, since these are now nationalized in many ways because the control of the Senate and the House in North Carolina is a big deal? How expensive are they? Like, how much money will be spent in your race and Fred's race?
So it's a little hard because you got PACs that lay into it too.
Right.
But I'll just share a number. Amy Gailey, that was elected in 2020 on her talk, says that in total her seat that pays a little less than $14,000 a year probably costs right around $6 million.
Isn't that crazy?
It's
because of the power involved and the impact it has on the culture. Right. And so PACs and all these other people dump all kinds of money.
All
into it.
Sorts
it's all
of
about
money
control and power. Center.
And so anyway, you know, so when a person, for me, puts in $5, they paid for a yard sign, $200, you paid for a commercial on television. And the final thing is, so there's prayer, there's financial, and the final thing is grassroots. So we have groups that are going out door knocking every weekend. Now they're even more frequently than that every day. Where we're going to people that are likely supportive of of me and saying, look, you got to get out to vote.
That's right.
This is who the candidate is. We'll make sure that you know that you got a Christian businessman that's running. Go vote.
Because how close can these races be in a district like North Carolina Senate District 18? How many people live in District 18?
Yeah, I mean, the Senate districts range between 150 and 200,000 people in there. And so mine's about in the mid-range of that number. But the vote for my vote, when I think it's all said and done, my district's a toss-up district.
Yeah.
So it doesn't lean really one way or the other. I'd be surprised if it's over 1,000 votes that determine
that makes the difference. Variance. And that's – and one of the things – and I said this at a recent event I was at. I'm like, listen, here's one thing everybody can do. Go find your ballot. Get your sample ballot online. Print it off. Get your answers and put them on social media, especially if you're a Christian and a conservative. Then you should be sharing who you're voting for. Don't be afraid of that, because a lot of people just don't know what to do. They don't understand. Just tell them who to vote for, because there's people that trust each one of us. We all have a sphere of influence.
And that's an important part, right? And so, look, I'm an outsider. And as I tell people, everybody loves an outsider, fresh ideas and all that. But the disadvantage is you don't have a network, right? And so I need other people's network to
go out
and tell their friends that you got a Christian businessman who's running for office. Go check him out. Think he's worth your support. It makes all the difference in the world.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah, and that's Nehemiah's wall. Okay, that's the one wall goes all the way around. And for 140 years, Jerusalem lies in ruins, and people were just raping, plundering, and pillaging. Nehemiah shows up, spends a few days in prayer, checking things out. And within 52 days, he has the whole thing rebuilt. And that's because everybody there had their own place on the wall.
Had a mind to work.
You have your place, which is running. I have my place, which is doing what I do with media and radio, blah, 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 blah. And then the reach that I have with social media and the radio show. And then other people don't sit there and think, well, I can't do anything. I'm not running. I can't do anything. I don't have a radio show. You can reach people that neither EC and myself can
Campaigning
reach.
Is not an individual sport. This is a team activity.
That's right.
The team either wins or team loses. And so my name may be on the ballot, but it's really team psychs more than it is as an individual. And we all win together.
That's right.
Or we are going to lose.
That's
the impacts are felt by everybody, good or bad. And so we need everybody's help and support if we're going to be successful.
That's right. Be bold, be courageous, don't be afraid, and put it out there on social media who you're voting for. You never know who you could be convincing or who's just going to follow you because they trust you. Don't miss the opportunity to take advantage of whatever sphere of influence the Lord has given you. EC, real quick, how can we pray for you and Susan and your team?
Number one, always pray for Susan and my marriage, so we know Satan comes against us at his places. We're doing great, but we cherish your prayers there. All right, and just, discernment, wisdom, encouragement.
And victory.
Victory.
Don't be afraid to pray for victory by name. By the way, if you need a list of names, I'll put them on Facebook here pretty soon. You can email me, Steve, at thestevenobleshow.com. I'll also have them up at the website tomorrow, thestevenobleshow.com. God bless you, EC. Thanks for coming. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you guys again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.